September 25th, the new Fox Tuesday kicks off with New Girl's new season. Then welcome Ben and Kate.
Stay away from my sister before you find out what 6 years of Krav Maga feels like. Well, like year and a half plus like 4 years on and off I was traveling.
Followed by another all-new New Girl.
What am I looking at here?
Pure, unadulterated friendship.
And the Mindy Project.
Can't believe you're tattling.
Tattling is when a little girl does it, okay? When a hot woman does it, it's called whistleblowing.
The new Fox Tuesday, from your September 25th on Fox.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Sons of Anarchy After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Sons of Anarchy After Show.
You look like the thinking man.
Thinking sad thoughts.
It's horrible.
My God, Bing is for doing.
Right into this world.
And we are here doing, as you can tell by that theme song, the Sons of Anarchy, AfterBuzz TV After Show, Season 5, Episode 3, entitled Laying Pipe. I'm your host, Kevin Undergaro, along with
Chris Lee Kennedy.
And
it's a somber night.
It's so somber. And
tough night for Sons of Anarchy fans.
And I mean, you know, I love the show, and I think you love it even more than me. But I take the show a little lighter. I said on the last podcast we did, because I feel like it's not as realistic as, say, some of the other dramas or crime dramas that are out there. And yet at the same time, my eyes watered up over tonight.
It was nice to see you scream at the TV this week, because last week I was the one yelling at the TV, and this week you were like yelling with me. It was great. But I did think we were both going to shed a tear tonight. It was a little rough on us.
Really, really rough. And we will talk about it, and we're going to talk about why and figure out why. So sad, because obviously we love the actor and we love the character of Opie so much. Before we get into it,
yes,
let's just deal with Gemma, Tara, and Wendy and what's going on there.
I feel like Gemma is the most manipulative and smart bitch on television, period, right now. Like, on every show I can think of, I've never seen anyone that masterminds the way she does.
There's one, Glenn Close in Damages.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But Gemma is, she's really good at what she does. And I know you talk about like how much you hate Clay, but I'm not loving on Gemma.
Well, I think I love Gemma because of the way that she works. But she's just as cold hearted as Clay. And
wait, no, more so.
I'll agree with you more so.
I think you're going to find out. I think we're all going to find out. No, but by the way, I may be wrong, but I think we're going to find out that she's the one that really led to JT's murder, and she's the one that's always been pulling the strings.
She's the puppet master.
More so than Clay. Clay's more of a thug. And I think that this is going to be the showdown of showdowns, and isn't interesting that new Gemma, Tara, is going to be, as I say, she's Gemma 2.0, and just as much as Jax is JT 2.0. I think they're the newer, improved versions. And
Tara has stepped into the role of Gemma quite seamlessly, I might add.
But I think
the visitation away for the children. I mean, she's stepping it up.
I wouldn't say the role of. I think she's being pinned as Gemma. I think we saw that analogy at the end of last season, where she morphed into, you know, her picture morphed into Gemma's, or Gemma's picture morphed into hers.
Hers.
But I don't, I see Tara now will start making the tough decisions as Jax is making the tough decisions, mm-hmm. that the unpopular decisions that leaders have to make. And we know that Gemma and Clay were willing to do that, but they were also willing to go to that next kind of insidious level.
Right.
And I don't, I feel the difference with Tara and Jax is going to be that. I think the difference with Tara and Jax in their 2.0 versions, I think that there's a governor within them that's going to stop them from being as ruthless and as almost borderline psychotic.
Right. Well, because Gemma and Clay have done everything with themselves in mind. It was completely yep. self-driven. It was yep. completely getting themselves to a That's better it. Place. Where Jax and Tara are different
yep.
in the way that they actually have hearts and they actually care. But when Tara has now stepped up to the plate and she's taken Gemma, she can't see the kids anymore, and she's taking control over her life. Gemma's never had anyone that's done that either. Right. And that threat became so evident tonight when Gemma fought with Tara and immediately went to Wendy. Like, smart move on Gemma's case.
To go to Wendy. But you know what? It's the same old school stuff she's always been doing, and she's
right.
not she's not used to going against her 2.0 version.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, let's back up. So she goes to Andrea DiMatteo's character of Wendy, who I remember when she was introduced at the end of last year, I knew where they were going. I was
yes.
like, I knew when they introduced her that the sons were going to rise above the Irish thing, that they were going to win, mm-hmm. because I knew they were introducing another conflict for the following season.
Right.
So in one way, I was like, we have so many other problems going on. Do we really have to do the carnation instant milk? Do we have to, like, just do an instant, like, you know what I mean? Like, out of nowhere, a new subplot, and we're all supposed to buy into it. But where they had in mind, and I didn't, that this showdown was going to come between Tara and Gemma.
Right.
It actually was a smart idea.
It was brilliant, because now, you know, Gemma doesn't have anything against Tara. Tara has a lot against Gemma. She knows about the letters that Gemma burnt. So Gemma going to Wendy was a bold statement and a bold move.
It was a bold move.
But Wendy's smarter now. She's not a junkie anymore.
Right, and she's clear-headed.
She's shown that. She's working. She's had a job. She's a therapist, for God's sake.
And at the same time, was a biker, so she an old lady. So
right.
she's no dummy.
No, she knows.
She's
knows,
shrewd.
And she knows Gemma. She knows what she's about. She knows what she's trying to get to. And while it may have given her the leverage she needed, I don't think anyone was counting on Tara being as smart
neither,
as she has
neither
been.
Neither Gemma nor Wendy were, considering the fact that she's like, look at my eyes. I haven't taken a pill in a month. You are, and I wrote it down here, you are a junkie biker whore.
That's right. She is.
Pow.
But you know what? Even as a viewer, I never thought Tara would ever be able to step up to the plate and man up. Never. I
totally
hated her from
did.
The beginning. Really? You thought so?
Yeah. Well, I just thought that that was just going to be the arc.
Yeah. I never saw her stepping up.
And you didn't like that. And what I didn't like was the fact that I knew she was going to arc, and I was never comfortable with the fact that a doctor would throw her whole life away. And then now become this badass bitch. But I'm a
lot. What do you do for love?
You're right.
It's what you do for love. I mean, this is what, 14 years in the making? They were together when they were in high school. They
right.
are completely in love with one another. They've told us all that backstory. So, I mean, she just didn't want to give up on the person that she thought was her one and only.
And you buy her. Have you seen anything like this? In, you know, in Rhode Island, and like your experiences with bikers and things like that. Have you seen anything like it where it was like kind of a
I
good
mean,
girl?
I mean, like surgeon? Like, no.
Right.
But like good girls that have great jobs, lawyers? Yeah, absolutely.
Marissa, can you turn down? We have like the AC just went on like crazy. And it's like we have like a tidal
the
wave.
The fan's
coming
a little
yeah,
high.
Yeah, either point the fan up or shut it off. Either one. Anyway, with. It was interesting. It Wendy takes Gemma's information. It's like, okay, Gemma, I know you're a bitch, but you know what?
Right.
I will go use this as leverage. And then we see Tara stand her ground. I'm completely sober. You're not going to get these kids. I'm a surgeon. You're a junkie whore. Pow. Knocks her out. Then goes and deals with Gemma.
And Tara, before Tara leaves, after she walks away, she says literally, I know what you mean, Gemma. And it can be taken many different ways. Because is she calling Tara Gemma? Or is she saying, wow, Gemma, you really put me in another bad hole?
I think both. I think that's great writing.
It's great writing. Right. Because it's brilliant. Because it makes you as a viewer think. And both of them work really well with the story. Because they're both crazy.
Right. And so then the same thing. Then she has to go battle Gemma.
Yes.
And she, Gemma, I love you. You know, like, which I thought was great. She's like, I love you. We've been through so much together because typically when you do go through that many battles with someone in the foxhole with you, you can't help but have a bond.
Right.
And she acknowledges that, but she's like, but listen, my family and I'm running it, et cetera, et cetera. And Gemma pulls out the guns and then she turns them back and says, you know, basically,
I won't kill you, but my husband might.
My husband might. Knowing that if my husband finds out, you know, what you did, you'll lose the love of your son. And we've talked about this. I've seen parents pull relationships apart, but I've also seen the other way around.
Absolutely.
Where a relationship can sever. A relationship with a husband or wife, boyfriend or girlfriend, can permanently sever relationships with parents.
Absolutely.
And but here's the one thing.
I mean, especially if you find out your mom killed your dad.
But true. But
I mean,
but by just by letting that out there, which could have been a rookie mistake, you've just let Gemma know that you need to die.
Yes, but I don't think that she would as much as. I don't think she would ever go against Jax by killing Tara because she
would never
protected Tara
know,
from Clay.
But she right, but when she thought she was on team. When she thought she was on Team Gemma.
Right, when she was working with Gemma.
Now, if you're going to keep me away from those kids, because, you know, like, I think she has to die.
And Gemma's gotten her own way her whole life. She's made things happen. She's the orchestrator. And now having somebody threaten that power
I'm saying,
with her family.
And so you're going to have to die. And it was maybe a rookie mistake to let that out because Gemma is great at what she does. She can completely make it look like an accident. Make it look like it didn't happen.
And because she doesn't do it herself, she has other people do it for her.
Right. And so now that you've let that out there, very scary. You know, very scary. So it was like, in the moment, it was tough. It was good. But might have been a mistake.
In the long run. Yeah, I didn't even think in the long run of it. Because in my head, it's like, God, Tara has so much on Gemma. She has so much of the upper hand. And if she plays this the right way, I mean, she really will gain the control. She just has, and she knows the manipulative side of Gemma. But I didn't think of the long term of, long-term. Well, Gemma did get her husband killed. So she would get.
No, but she is top gun. She's the one that
she's
is the most powerful. It's not Clay. It's her. And I think that if you're Gemma, what do you do?
You have to get rid of it.
You've got to get rid of...
Burn the letters, get rid of the girl.
And now you have to get rid of the girl. Because,
absolutely.
You know, so it might not have been the smartest thing. Kind of cool in the moment to say, may not have been the smartest thing.
Long term.
Let me tell you, though, about iTunes.
Tell me about iTunes.
Well, we're yet to get any comments or ratings because literally we've only been on the air for a day.
But we are number 5 at the AfterBuzz podcast.
I actually think we're higher. Are we 5 or 4? What are we, Marissa?
I believe 5 today.
Number 5. Yeah. I mean, for one
right,
podcast,
one
thank
day.
You, After Buzzers.
Yeah, thank you very much. And that's thank you to the After Buzz fans and the fans of Son of Anarchy. And, you know, I know Phil was saying that thousands and thousands of emails he's received over the last two or 3 years saying,
I got tons of tweets last night.
Why aren't you doing Sons?
Yep.
And so we're finally doing it, and you guys have shown that you love the show that much. As we said, we are number 5 on our iTunes top 10, our network top 10, and we're hoping that that number will grow and that will grow with your support. And we ask you please to send us your comments, your ratings, and your questions, and we'll respond to them accordingly. Okay, something interesting happens between Bobby, Clay, and the CIA. They have a meeting, and now Clay doesn't know it's CIA.
Right.
Clay thinks he's dealing with the drug runners. And this whole exchange goes down, and
Bobby steps up to the plate.
He steps up to the plate as the
totally
VP.
Totally as
the
VP.
Yeah, this is how it's going to go, yada, yada, and that's fine. But we see a look on Clay's face.
Yep.
I totally miss it. And you nailed it. So tell me.
I'm a screamer during these shows. Clay totally noticed a difference in Bobby. He saw Bobby step up. He saw his mannerism change. Bobby's never been the kind of guy in situations like that that's like, this is going to happen.
Oh.
And Bobby did that tonight, and I think Clay really saw that Bobby knows something that he's not telling Clay.
That's what I mean, is that it wasn't just that he noticed him stepping up.
No, he knew.
Something's up. There's a double deal. There's something fishy, and Clay picked it up.
Clay saw that he was out of the loop because of the way that Bobby responded to keeping the guy safe in jail. You're the cartel. You know how to handle this. You can do this. And Clay saw that change in Bobby, and you saw it change in his head where he was like, something's happening and I'm missing out. I don't know something. And you saw that.
I don't know yet, but I want to know. So then he's talking to Juice about...
Again, with the Juice. Like, I don't understand where their kinship has come from.
No, okay, because can I tell you, like, you... Yes, there are those young people that disrespect old people.
Right.
And would be disrespectful of someone being out of power. However, there are some of us... You know I look up to older directors, older stars, and I revere them. Whether they're like Dustin Hoffman or, you know, Radar from MASH.
So he's just respecting
I
the
buy
elder.
That. Yeah, I buy that. Like, this was, you know, when he was really young. I mean, who knows? Even as a kid growing up in Charming, you'd probably heard of this guy.
Of
I mean,
course.
I know the guys in Lynn, Massachusetts that, you know, I don't know them personally. I've met this one guy a couple of times, but I knew his name.
Right.
You know, he's like a legend.
Of course.
And so I buy that it's like Juice is sweet, he's sensitive, and he, you know, even it's a fallen hero, but it's a legend. You're still going to look up to him and respect him. And when he's weak, you're more vulnerable. You can either prey on him and the respect that you're going to try to hurt him or kill him or vex him, or you can go the other way and nurture and care for him. So I buy Juice.
I just, you know, I think with Juice, my thing is that he's just always in the worst situations. It's like he walks with his tail between his
legs.
But
he's physically
sometimes.
Small.
He is small. He
and
is the smaller.
And that usually goes part and parcel in these things.
I know. It just kills me because he gets himself in these situations. Like, grow a sack sometimes.
I know, but...
And give all the information because then look what you get yourself.
Yeah, but do you think there's a coincidence that Piney was so big?
Yeah.
Older guy, but big.
Big.
Opie, big.
Brick House.
You know, Clay running the show, huge.
Right.
So I think... I buy it. I buy the way it's all going down.
It's great casting in that way as well.
Yeah.
As you're seeing these big powerhouses are also these big, great personalities. And this, here's the guy that's Puerto Rican and half black and doesn't want to know. And he's the smaller one. And he does walk with his tail between his legs and is constantly opening his mouth and getting everyone else in trouble. It killed me.
And the fact that he's carrying this secret and he's ashamed.
Huge secret.
And it's just great. I get it. I get what he's going through. Well, they go to the brothel. And
well, because Clay like begs him, I'm so weak, I'm hurt, I just want to
know. I got half a lung.
I just want to know if I've lost my club. I'm not going to be able to ride. I'm not going to have a vote. Just tell me about my woman.
Right. And I lost half a lung. So it's some X-Bars we didn't know.
Right.
Now, I wrote that down assuming it was true. However, when he's having his little to do with Ashley Tisdale.
Weirdest cameo ever, by the way.
Yeah, kind of weird.
Pop star plays a hooker.
But we know we'll see more of her because she wouldn't just be there for a blip.
And we saw her on the preview
in the scenes
for
next week.
Episode.
So, but we see Clay sitting on the edge of the bed or whatever it was, the table.
No oxygen. None.
And that speaks to your point from the previous podcast.
That's what I said yesterday.
You said, no, he's drinking because he's sitting back and waiting.
Yeah.
And I was like, he's drowning as far as he's given up.
No, he's too smart. He's playing everybody.
So he could regain his strength.
And why would he let anyone know that he has his strength back at this point? The whole club thinks that, you know, Jax is the president. He just had this surgery. He's not in the hospital. He's not going to be able to ride. He doesn't know where he stands with this motorcycle club at all right now. All the people that he had are kind of gone right now. So why would he let anyone know how strong he is? Let them know he's weak, lay low, figure it all out, and then come back with a vengeance. Like, why let anyone know that his strength's back? I think he's playing a game. I think it's all a fraud.
I know you hate this, but I'm rooting for the Clay comeback.
I know. I hate that you're rooting for Clay.
I want the Clay comeback.
Oh, I can't see.
Because it's the old guard. You know, you hate them, but then you're like, no, I don't feel right that he's not around anymore, that he's not in power.
I just feel like he's gotten them into so much shit.
You made that
shit.
Point, and you're right.
They can't get out anymore. Jax is in a no-win situation.
I mean, look
situation.
At Trigg. Went yeah. and killed for him. They killed the Pope's daughter for him.
Tig killed Donna. I mean, yeah. Tig's done everything for him. And it's just like he makes one bad decision after another.
Got them away from porn, which was like a
really? $8 billion a year industry?
Right.
And that's what you get out of to run guns and coke?
Yeah, right.
I mean, they were safe. They were comfortable. He makes every decision not for the motorcycle club, but for himself. And that's not what a president of a motorcycle club does.
Right. Although, cynics would tell you those guys who run those clubs, just like the mafia, are so just about themselves.
To an extent.
Makes them realistic.
Right. And I understand that there's that extent of selfishness to it. But I also think that at the end of the day, these motorcycle clubs have withstanded the test of time for a reason, and it's not because they're individually selfish. It's because they work together as a group, as a community, to get the things done that they need to, whether it be bad or good. They're withstanding the test of time. They're still around.
I just love how I'm doing the show with an old lady. My old lady host is amazing. All right. Before we're
laughing,
right?
You
we're
know,
laughing,
I mean,
yeah.
I feel like it's been a really heavy show tonight, and we're gonna get into the heavier part of it.
Right.
So before we get into that, I just want to let you guys know tonight was the Fox premiere beginning of Comedy Tuesdays, which, I mean, after this show, you really need a good laugh. So if you missed it this week, I won't slap you too hard. I'll let you come in next week and fill it in. You want to check out Zooey Deschanel and The New Girl. She's absolutely hysterical. Who doesn't love her? She's one of the most adorable people on television right now. One of what I hear to be the best new comedies that I haven't seen yet, Ben and Kate, which I will be sure to check out next week. And, of course, the one and only Mindy Kaling on The Mindy Project, which, I mean, she's brilliant, so I can't imagine that it wouldn't be tons of laughs. So if you miss out this week, please make sure you check it out next week at 8, and I hope you all enjoy it.
Yeah,
is some heavy stuff.
No, this
so
is heavy
we
stuff.
Need some laughs.
I think you watch your stuff. You can watch your stuff Fox yeah. Live. It's a little lighter, and then, you know, you tape this, and you have to watch. I like watching this on the DVR because I want to rewind and watch again.
I also
it's
think that there should be like a subtitle or some kind of. At the beginning where they say you must have cigarette and shot of whiskey at all times in right hand during viewing. Yeah. Because this is one of those shows that I'm like, he has made Kurt Sutter's mind. I'd love to just pick his mind apart because he's made me cry. He's made me almost throw up. He's given me the goosebumps. He's broken my heart. He's affected me by this show.
I don't know any characters. You know, I know it's the Sopranos had their tense moments, but like these guys, I think, it was all, what I'm about to say was encapsulated in something Opie said today. And Opie said, this isn't fun anymore. And I've been saying that to myself for the past two or three seasons. I'm like, you know what? This used to be bonfires and whores and music playing. And you know what?
Everyone's dying now.
The last 3 years, it's been nothing but pistols to the back of their head.
Yeah. Anyway, all because of who you are rooting for,
my guy
for,
Clay.
By the way.
I know. He messed,
I mean,
I know. My
come
guy.
On.
I don't know. I guess it's from Beauty and the Beast. What was his show that he used to do? Ron Perlman.
That was a long time ago.
I know.
That's a long time ago.
I'm still Vincent.
I mean, I love me some Ron Perlman. His acting is.
He's awesome. He was great in Drive.
This is.
I'm
just,
loving him.
Especially now that he's so broken down, he's just brilliant. Like he's brilliant.
He's on his way, but he'll prove he's. A leader, and ultimately, I mean, listen, we could get into predictions forever and what's going to happen. But before,
no.
So we don't even go there. Let's talk about
My moment gang of silence.
The gang goes to prison.
They do.
And we find they have protection.
Instantly.
And my knee jerk is like, it's the Mayans.
Yep.
But when Jimmy Smith says to Jimmy Smith's character, God, what's his name? Nero.
Nero.
Now I got Nero.
See, now you got me saying Nero.
When Nero says to Gemma, they'll be all right.
Right. We were both like, it's
yeah, but you had thought so. I'm going to give you credit again for that, too. I was like, it must be the Mayans.
Right, but we were both wrong.
But you were right. You were thinking it was Nero,
I was
right?
thinking it was Nero's people, but we were both wrong because when you know, Pope is introduced, we're told that he got the protection from the cartel, not from... Unless Nero, which you asked tonight,
so
which
I
is
said,
brilliant.
Yes, is Nero in with the cartel or Danny Trejo?
Right, because he's come in out of nowhere. He's become, the club has become dependent on him for safety.
I feel he genuinely does love Gemma.
He's definitely very interested in
Gemma. By the way, we didn't go over the hickeys. How gross. But so typical.
That?
But I see that I've seen that before.
With people that age.
Yes, that are just kind of like, because, by the way, like young kids don't even do hickeys. So it's that's what I'm saying. It's such a throwback to two gross old people, like still being like trying to be 17 and recapture their glory.
No, it was not
but
attractive.
It was interesting. Put a scarf on, Tara said. We didn't even bring that up. And then in the next scene, you see her with a scarf.
Well, because she was going to Wendy. She had to play the mom role.
But the fact she said put a scarf on, it's interesting.
Yeah.
That she's wearing her down. That she had Miss Rebellious Biker Chick had to listen. But
prison.
Jimmy Smith, you know, we don't know if he's the one that's getting them the protection or what he's involved with. But it's interesting.
Right.
But speaking of it, they get their protection. But then we get a meeting between Pope and Jax.
I mean, Pope is... He's like, I don't even know. I don't even know who you can compare him to in the real world because he seems to have his hands in everything. Everyone is on his bankroll. He has police. He has the warden of the prison. Yeah. He has everyone on his bankroll. Like, this character is so new and we still don't know him. And yet he's so calm and so poised. And you look at him and you think that he would be this very distinguished businessman. And I mean, he's killing people. So he's clearly not. But whatever he does, I mean, he's the warden.
Yeah.
No, and he had demands, like very strict demands.
Well,
tonight.
You know, Trigg stays in jail forever.
For life.
Trigg stays in jail forever, excuse me. And then one of your boys has to die.
Right. And 50% of... He knew everything about the cartel.
Yep.
He knew that they were not dealing the crack or coke, that they were muling it. They knew about the guns. They knew about all of it. And not only does he want a dead son and Tig in jail for life, but he wants 50% of the muling money, which that's a big cut, and that
Huge.
Hurts the club a lot.
Huge. And then we get the scene of OP and Jax, you know, and Jax opens up to him. And tells
it's
him everything.
It's the first time that he's really been able to share the truth with Opie from start to finish of everything.
Yep.
And they needed that moment no matter what would have happened to Opie. They really needed that moment because for two guys that have been so close for so long and had such big plans for this club, they've gotten
such
so
dreams.
Far away from each
yeah.
other the last season, you know, and that trust was gone. And it was so great to see that moment. And Jax being at his weakest point and saying, like, I don't know how to keep any of us alive anymore, and I don't know what to do, and you're my person, so I'm going
to
share it with you.
And OP, you know, usually could tell him what to do, and all OP could say in the previous scene was it's not fun anymore.
No.
We've seen OP, who's really been walking dead since the father died. I mean, we killed half his soul with the wife, and now the father was the other half. And when he says to him, Jack says it was save the club or kill Clay. He's like, you should have killed Clay.
Made the wrong choice. And I kind of agree. And
yep.
I understand that they had to keep Clay alive for the whole deal and the CIA and all the BS. But at the same token, like, I wanted to see Clay dead as well. So I agreed with Ope on that.
I also agree in the sense that it's not, even though that make it, you could take it like Ope being emotional. I really don't think he was. I think he was so calm and so zen at that moment where he was saying two good things would happen. The club actually should die.
Right.
And Clay also should die.
Which is interesting.
And not just out of emotions, but because he's an evil, self-centered, like, you know, bad guy.
Right. And it's interesting because when they get to the four of them and, you know, Jax tells the boys and he's like, you know, one of us has to leave in a body bag. One of us has to die. And Ope chooses to go. It's so funny because I feel like a lot of viewers that may not have read into it may have thought, wow, he's the ultimate motorcycle club member. He's dying for his club. And he wasn't dying for his club at that point. And when it first happened, I thought the same thing. Like, wow, he's lost everything to this motorcycle club. They've taken away everything for him. But yet he's still leaving the club first. And he didn't. I think that he was just done.
He's ready
to go.
He
had nothing left in him to fight.
He was ready to go. And even, like, the fight he put up, it seems strong. I expected even a greater fight.
I wanted more, yeah.
You know, a couple of things. And then basically it was like he was on his knees and he almost smiled to Jax through the window.
He did. Big smile.
Saying, I'm ready to go.
He did.
I'm ready. I'm ready to go be with my dad. I'm ready to go be with my soulmate.
Donna.
And, man, that smack on the back of the head was so brutal and so violent. And we all felt the helplessness Jax and those guys felt.
Well, the loss that club has had in the past year. They've lost so many members. They've lost so many family members of the club. They've had so much loss. They're imploding. Right. They're literally imploding. So they've just, the loss is huge. And to then now see your best friend basically kill himself. I mean, yeah. Obviously it was a fight, but he basically signed his death notice. He said, take me. I'm good. I'm going to fight.
I'm good.
Give anyone a choice.
No.
And it broke my heart. I loved Ope. And
he's such a great actor, and you know,
it
begs the debate because I know a lot of these shows, and showrunners can say what they want, but when a lot of these guys get written off,
there was a bad relationship.
More often than not, it's not unless it's the end of the show, and you know, it's like it doesn't matter who you're writing off. It's the last season; it doesn't matter at that point. But most of the time when people are written off, it's either because the actor really wanted to leave.
Right.
Or the showrunner. Somebody had bad blood against that person. You know, but not always. I mean, you know, not always. But I don't know. But he seems... For me, I feel like I'm always able to read what an actor's like in real life.
Yeah.
When they act. And he feels like a sweet soul.
Feels like an amazing guy.
Right.
And I feel like I just recently heard from someone that he is a really great guy. I also think Kurt Sutter does a lot of things for shock value. I think he likes to pull things out of left field that you would never guess. Because I don't think anyone would have ever guessed that Opie would have went next. We've lost so many key members to the club. And it's been such a hard year as a viewer because there's these people that you love and you follow. And to have lost Piney and him and all these guys, it's just like we're losing so many key guys. It makes me wonder what the thought process is behind
it. You had said, though, that you had heard it was tense on set. That's not an easy set.
I mean, I don't think that it would be the easiest set to be on, no. And I have heard that it's a harder set to be on. It's a little bit more demanding. I think that they probably have some guys on set that probably make it a little bit uncomfortable.
The advisors who are like legitimate, right?
Authenticity. They want authenticity. And I also feel like because I've not been a huge part of a motorcycle community, but a big part of it. And the first season... that's exactly what I felt. I felt it wasn't as authentic and I wasn't in love with it. And as the seasons have progressed, it has gotten more gritty, a little bit more raw for me. The deaths have been tragic and brutal. And everything from the explosions to the beatings to, I mean, God, when Jax hit Ima a couple weeks ago in the last season in the face, that was so everything, every hit, every bruise is so much more authentic now. And I think that would make it really hard to be on set with that authenticity over your shoulder.
Again, as these weeks go on, we're going to work harder on getting guests in here and hearing more about it. So then we see Jax goes into Pope and is like, you'll get your 50%. You got your body bag.
I want Tig.
Tig comes out with me.
Not only does he say that Tig comes out with me, but he says, when this is all said and done, you can do as you please with Tig because I don't care anymore. And Pope comes back to him and says, you know, he says, don't make a bad decision because of hurt feelings, but that's what makes you a king. And it was interesting because obviously
from player to king, right?
Obviously Pope has had to kill people left and right to get where he is.
Yep.
And it was amazing to see that. And it was amazing to see. I've never seen Jax look that hurt and that angry. And that's, he just, there was like no feelings attached to that.
But is there any part of Jax that's posturing? Does he mean it? You can do what you want with Tig. Or is he posturing saying, I'm going to kill you, you mofo? You know,
I mean,
I'm going to do what I have to do. And which is the smart play as a leader, is to say, yep, you know what? I'm falling in line and I need Tig out with me. And here's why. Now he's got Tig, who's out and loyal to him for life.
Forever.
Really smart.
Which we know finally, Tig is loyal.
Finally, Clay lost him.
Right.
On the other hand, as we are getting these hints that Clay's getting stronger, we also see that Opie's gone, and that was going to be the biggest hindrance to Clay.
Right.
So it's
huge.
It's interesting as these guys continue with their struggle for power. You know, also, we learn about the home invasions. They're not coming from the Niners in Pope. I don't feel they are.
No.
And then you were like, they're coming from Clay.
They're Clay.
They're coming from Clay. So, you
those
know.
Those nomads had the safe with the stupid birth certificates.
Right. So so that's Clay's faction.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Clay still has power. And, you know, I think the thing that they'll toy with us back and forth for the next few episodes will be the Jax. Will he go bad? Will this be the turning point for Jax to become Clay? Because I think what's really interesting to me is they're going back and forth between Tara and Gemma. And I think what's going to happen is Jax is going to take that path of, am I going to become Clay, or am I going to become my father,
JT,
or am I going to be my own?
He's going to be his own.
Yeah.
Interesting. But he's going back and forth. There's the JT in him, like, get me out of here, and then there's the Clay in him, you know. But it's he's gonna be okay. He's gonna take the both. He and Tara are gonna be okay. They're gonna take the right road with this, I feel. But I mean, time will tell. The deal he makes, though, it's nice because we get Tig out.
Everybody's out now.
Now another one of the nicer moments I felt is when, as a guy, you know, guys, we love the kick-ass part of these shows, but I love when he told the security guard, I'm going to find out who you are.
Of course.
And I'm gonna find out who you are. I'm going to get out and find out who you are.
Go to your house. You're done.
And I loved it in the moment.
Right.
But to me, it's almost the same thing with Tara threatening Gemma. Why would you show that guy your hand? It's a cool moment. It's a fun moment for TV. But realistically, the better thing is to go, listen, I know you were doing your job. Things just get messed up. Whatever. That's how the mafia does it.
Yeah, that wasn't going to happen.
And then but that's what you say.
Right.
And then you walk out and you handle your business.
And Jax knew he was safe at this point. He knew he's going home.
But that guy couldn't have killed him there because he'd have heat with Pope.
No, he couldn't do it. So he knows he's in a safe spot. And it was also really interesting for Pope, and I thought it was a really kind of big moment, was when he looked at Jax before he left and said, be smart because it's what you do. Like, I think that Pope sees in Jax what everyone else sees that Jax maybe hasn't found yet. Like, Jax is very smart, and he can do the things that he's going to do with this club. But it was interesting to see Pope kind of call him out on that, because here's this guy who's this horrible person, but also giving back to the community and doing all these weird things.
Well, that's just part of the scam, though. I think they all model it after. Goes back to Michael Corleone, but you see in Breaking Bad. Character of Gus Fring. It's like all these guys who are calm, cool, and not emotional to the nth degree about business and profit. All right, let's go to predictions.
Wait a minute.
What?
No.
Wait,
not yet. We end. I'm sorry. I'm gonna. No, we
okay.
ended. We the show ended.
Oh, yeah, right.
With the. I can't even talk now.
No, the brothel. The brothel being broken.
I'm
so sorry.
Raided
sorry,
the brothel. I was like,
sorry,
I,
fans, and thank you for doing that.
Marissa, don't listen to him. I know he's the boss, but don't listen to him. Totally.
My old lady.
Raided. The old lady always wins. Gemma Chrisley gets her way.
No, and I'm so Clay.
Chrisley Teller gets her way.
I'm Clay, and Phil's Jax. Phil's taking over. I'm the old guy with my respirator. All right. No. So
no, the cops break in.
Right.
The first person they cuff is Gemma. Clay is
you start
not
screaming.
An idiot.
You're like, Clay did this.
I was so mad because I'm like, God, like, he's just so manipulative. Like, they just need to just get over themselves and out of either be in the relationship or don't be in the relationship. But this back and forth thing, like calling the cops, beating people up, like, you don't.
Yeah, but they're just children, and that's what the hickeys are about. They're just, it's just high school, you know? And I think it was interesting, just Carla's face was just like, why are we involved with these cracker fools? Why did you bring them in here?
She's calling them white trash left and right.
It's hilarious. I mean, yeah, she's hilarious. But you could see a look on her face when they got arrested. Yeah, juice is funny. But when they got arrested, she was like, why? You know, I told you this was going to happen. And
you know they're going to pin her for prostitution. Like, that's what's going to happen.
And Clay dined them out. And, you know, we didn't talk about the way Gemma went in. But why did she beat Ashley Tisdale? She says, I don't have any more feelings for Clay. You believe that?
Yes, I do. It is the mentality of, I won't say all bikers, but there is definitely a biker mentality where if I can't have you, no one will. And I don't want you, but no one else can have you.
Wow.
There's definitely a mentality of that is a little interesting.
It's kind of a turn up.
I mean, she kicked some Ashley Tisdale ass.
Yeah, she did. Poor Ashley Tisdale got beat up. Well, so the brothel now is now in trouble. So
learned,
like,
yeah.
So the Gemma and Clay cloud of darkness just comes into everyone's world.
Right. And the sons are now, and Jax is going to have to once again clean up more of Clay's mess. And now we're going to owe them because we messed up their business.
Yeah, once again, man.
Yep.
All right. Now predictions.
Now we're good.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
We know Ashley Tisdale is a star, so we knew she wasn't just going to walk out with her little underwear, you know. And no. We see her on the back of Jax's bike.
And I want to know if she does her own stunts, because they lay the bike down.
I'm sure she didn't. But but it's interesting. Yeah. However she gets involved, she is involved.
Yeah, she's there.
We see the boys out. We see poor Opie being laid to rest. We hear a quote where they say Pope is the worst guy they've ever dealt with.
Yeah.
We've never done anything like this.
And my favorite moment of the previews is Gemma saying to Clay, why don't you mop my face on the floor and maybe then you'll recognize me.
Right.
What a powerful moment. As much as I can't stand how manipulative she is, to somebody that hits you and beats you to that extent, to be able to say that back with confidence and like that anger.
And there he is.
It was a moment.
And he had all the oxygen mask and everything on.
And Nero was right behind him.
Back to being the weak
old
man. But man, I can't wait for the comeback.
I know.
So excited.
It's an intense season.
Predictions. I mean, I know they want to go another season after this. Don't they?
Oh, we've heard. Yeah.
And I mean, I don't know. I just, to me, it ends with Tara and Jax
in control.
Yeah, and creating a new world order. You know, it'll go on, but it's got to go on in a new way. And I see those.
Or he loses everything.
Or he could, but I don't see that. And I see Gemma and the other guy and Clay, literally killing each other. And hugging at the same time. Something twisted. Anyway, all right, you guys, thank you so much for me and my old lady, Chrisley. Hey, so where do we find you, Chrisley?
You tweet me at Chrisley, KRISILY. And you guys did that last week, yesterday, not last week,
right.
And had so much fun talking to everybody about the show. So make sure you keep up.
Yeah, more questions and comments, please. Thank you, Marissa.
Thank you, Marissa.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.